Let's be Heroes in the Half Show with episode number 8. Wait. What, Paul?
Katek's not here.
What? Katek's not there?
No, he's not here. What, look around.
He's going to be our guest host. What are we supposed to do now?
Well, he's your brother. Where is he?
I don't know. He's on the phone. Let's hear what he has to say.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Katek, can you hear us?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Hey, sorry about that.
That's okay. Let's be Heroes in the Half Show for episode number 18 of the Retro Rewind podcast.
Wait.
Oh, my gosh. What, Paul?
Wait. What? Katek's not here.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay. Never mind. He's right here. Okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, good.
I'll kill you, Paul.
Retro Rewind podcast initialized. Mission identified. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game, 1989. Co-hosts online. Auditory analysis online. All systems nominal.
It sounded like she said composts online instead of co-host.
Well, what can you do? She had to fit in a really long name. Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Retro Rewind podcast. This is the podcast where we look at movies and video games from 15 or more years ago and let you know whether they're still worth revisiting today. My name is Francisco Ruiz. I am a dad, a designer, and a diehard Donnie fan. Yeah.
Oh, Donatello's your favorite?
Yeah. Hold on. I haven't introduced you yet, Paul.
Sorry.
But since you heard him multiple times now, that is the sound of my co-host, Paul Powers. Welcome, Paul.
What's up?
How are you doing today?
Doing good. We're ready to kick some shell.
Exactly. Your question for the day, which you probably guessed, was what Ninja Turtle did you play as a kid?
My favorite was Donnie as well.
But so, I'm Donatello. You can't be Donatello.
Doesn't matter. He was still my favorite, to answer your question.
All right.
Something, I don't know. There's something goes around beating people with a big stick. I mean,
I like they made machines and stuff and made the blimp and the turtle van and stuff like that.
All right.
Yeah. And joining us this time is my brother, Katek Ruiz. Thank you so much for joining us today, Katek.
Cowabunga, dudes.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Katek, why don't you tell us what you do for a living and also what was your Ninja Turtle growing up? I mean, I know, but tell our listeners, please.
All right. So basically, I'm an editor, visual effects, motion graphics artist, visual effects supervisor, producer, photographer. And lately, I've gotten into textile manufacturing. So that's pretty much what I do now. Mm-hmm. And let's see here. My favorite Ninja Turtle, which I was talking to Paul with the other day, is Raphael, which we couldn't play.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I couldn't play Donnie, so I feel your pain.
Yeah, I was stuck with Michelangelo. Of course,
he's a party dude.
He's good.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just like Raphael's, anger issues. his hot-headedness and temper. It really, really speaks to me.
Well, we're going from foreshadowing into just shadowing here. So, Paul, why don't you tell us how the podcast is going to shake out today?
Just go for it. Cover Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the classic arcade game, the first one, not Turtles in Time.
Yeah.
And then we're going to give you our rating, whether we think it was a classic or second class, and then we might do a NewTube segment.
We will do a NewTube segment.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, NewTube.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
So, Alice, have you found our ninja target?
Alert. Alert. Target located. Spoilers incoming. Engaging retro rewind reactor.
Oompas improved your favorite arcade game. First, we added 2 new levels, then packed it with bigger, stronger enemies, and a ton of extra foot soldiers. Next, we punched up the action with knockout new attack moves and crime-fighting scenes like the Ninja Castle. If that doesn't swell your shell, we made one more small adjustment. Introducing the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game, today's biggest hit, for your NES. free personal pan pizza coupon from Pizza Hut in every box.
Oh, that was the NES version.
Yeah, that was the best I could do for a trailer.
I'm all about that free Pizza Hut coupon.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
So, Paul, will you please read the technicals of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Nope. Not going to do it. I know Donnie's like the smart one with all the technicals, but...
I meant of the arcade game.
Yeah, I don't have any of that in front of me. Sorry.
Okay. Alrighty.
I have totally ill-prepared this time. All right, well, do you have the technicals?
I do not, no.
Good thing I'm prepared. The technicals are, it was an arcade game, and it had four players that you could choose from.
What year did it come out?
It came out in the year of awesomeness, the year of our Lord, 1989.
And do you know who made the arcade?
I believe it was Konami Interactive.
Okay. And awesome. Do you know have any idea like how much it made when it was in the arcades?
Yeah, it made quarters and dollars.
Oh, gosh. Okay, let's go ahead and get on with our memory synopsis. So this time, Paul and I pooled our memories. We did sort of a memory mind meld, if you will. And so this is both me and Paul's memories. We remember... At a pizzeria in Texas, Katek and I played this game with our cousins, being totally under the Ninja Turtle spell at that point in our lives. Paul recalled being able to pick his turtle based on the slot you stuck the coin in. I don't remember a lot of the game that wasn't later superimposed by the NES port that my brothers and I could never beat. Paul did recall the styles and characters matching close to the cartoon series of the day.
Oh my gosh, do you remember Oh, hold on. You mentioned the Nintendo. Do you remember that they said there was a code that you could put in and it required both controllers and you can play as Simon Belmont instead of one of the turtles?
I had no idea that.
For Castlevania? Oh my goodness, me and my friends were trying to do it and I read like last year or the second or a year or two ago that it was published. This trick was published by a magazine. Turns out it was an April Fool's joke.
Oh,
I was kind of frustrated because we spent hours trying to do that code because you had to do it in a certain time. It required both controllers.
Wow.
Anyway, so you brought it up. It was a memory anyway, continue with the arcade game.
Yeah, I'm surprised that with our mind meld that didn't actually seep in. But
was that in Texas? I don't remember that.
So I don't recall getting far into the game, just past the first building that is on fire and into a street stage. The stage Paul remembered that you are rescuing April from Rocksteady and Bebop. Both Paul and I seem to remember fighting against Baxter Stockman, the Flyman, and the Stewards with his white robotic Mausers. But given that this level is pretty far in, that might be an Inception memory from the NES, which it kind of is because he's not in his fly form in the arcade game.
Right, but he was still Baxter Stockman,
yes,
not the fly.
I wasn't made of quarters after all, but I do bleed Donnie Purple. I think that first time playing was the only time I got to play with three other people, which was the best.
Yeah.
Neither Paul or I got very far in the game, though, in the arcade game.
Well, how would you... I would say that... I don't know. Far is a relative term.
Yeah, especially because that game is designed to make you lose your lunch money.
Well, yeah. It's an arcade game, so... Before we get too far into it, let's go ahead and give our quick-fire predictions for whether we think... Excuse me, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game, is a classic or second class? Let's start with Katek.
Oh, before we replayed it, I would imagine it to be a classic because I remember it vividly. And before playing it, I would have said it was a classic.
Okay. Paul?
Yeah, I want to take this time and do a callback way back to the beginning of this podcast. Why do you want to kill me, Katek?
Because I couldn't play Raphael.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
A little arcade port.
Yeah, the emulator there. Okay, fair enough. So with that being said, I will say that I thought this would be a classic.
All right, and I thought it would be a classic as well. So let's see, as the round table goes on, if that pans out, how the three of us played this game. I'll go ahead and start. I played it with a Wii Classic controller using a program called WJoy, and I played the game itself on MAME OS 10. How about you guys?
We played on the MAME PC XP 2, Windows XP. On I was on a Xbox 360 wireless controller, and Katek was on a Logitech a Rumble Pad 2.
Okay, very cool.
I have to say, I'd much rather prefer a two-button arcade-style joystick. Yes. That would have been fun.
And yeah. It was nice using the classic controller, even though that's more Super NES-like. It was nice to use that. Though I had to use the analog stick, I guess, since that mimics a joystick as opposed to the D-pad.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's go ahead and talk about, after replaying it, the things we loved about the game and maybe how they compared to our memories of it. Paul, let's start with you. What's something that you remembered from, or that you really loved when you replayed it?
The cartoony feel reminded me of the cartoon series. The style of the character that, yeah. And I like beating up robots.
Yes, seriously.
Very nice.
I kind of missed it was two buttons, like hit and kick or jump and hit or kick, depending on, it was a two button combination. Uh-huh. I kind of missed not having more buttons, but on the other hand, it was also, it kept it simple.
Yeah, totally.
So that was, it wasn't too complicated. I enjoyed it not being too complicated.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to agree with Paul on that. Sorry to jump in, but I just have say, like, it's it was nice and refreshing to just have two buttons, but at the same time, those two buttons limited anything I could do, because I'm so used to video games today where I can actually do a multitude of things. But in this instance, I found out towards the end of the game, if I hit jump and attack at the same time, I can do like a swipe move, which is has the radius of like 1 pixel, so you can't hit anything anyway. It's kind of pointless to have. It just looks cool. But
well, I wonder if it was, if it's funny you bring that up, because I use that playing just the first player, which is Leonardo. Mm-hmm. He actually had a further radius with that sort of jump swipe. So I'm curious if with Michelangelo and possibly Raphael, if it was actually, it was physically shorter just because their weapons are shorter.
Well, maybe. Michelangelo has some reach because of his nunchucks, and I'm sure Donatello has a gigantic reach because of his bow. But Raphael, I remember actually, anytime he does his jump move, it's so like insignificant, and every single turtle's jump kick is sucks. Like you can't aim it anywhere.
You go right through the blinking boss.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously.
But Katek, I'm curious. What did you think of the overall style of the game? Did it like live up to your memories? Do you really like it? How it is given today's games?
Okay, you know what? It's funny because that game in particular, I was actually pleasantly surprised at how similar it was to my memory, because like I'll watch a show that I used to watch when I was a kid, or I'll watch a movie that I used to watch when I was a kid, and I'll be so greatly disappointed. But in this game, I was pleasantly surprised that it was exactly pretty much how I remember, like graphics wise and everything. And I even asked Paul, I was like, wait, what is this? What's the quality of this game? Because it's actually not that bad.
No,
like,
not at all.
Graphically. So I was like, wait, what is this? Is this Super Nintendo version? And we were unable to determine it. But after you talking about your Super Nintendo port, I guess it is Super Nintendo. So,
yeah. Wait, this was a Super Nintendo port? This was a
remake. No,
yeah. But I'm saying they put it on Super Nintendo eventually. So
no, they put it on the Nintendo eventually.
Oh, I thought it was Super Nintendo. No?
No. The regular Nintendo with not as good graphics.
Yes. Much diminished graphics. In fact,
so then the arcade was way better looking.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And when I actually went to play this, I had forgotten that the arcade looked this good. I was very blown away, because most of my memories are from the very grainy 8-bit NES version, which was still fun to play. But this was far and away way beyond that.
Well, I have to jump in here talking about the graphics. I enjoyed the style, mm-hmm. but from my memory, I remember it being very much like the cartoon. But when I saw it, I was like, this is a little more pixelated than I remember. It's not as crisp as the cartoon.
They didn't have cell shading in 1989? What?
Well, I mean, it was good for its time, but compared to the, I guess I'm comparing it in my head to the graphics of games today a little bit more.
Yeah, I was.
It does look 16-bit, but I was hoping that it would look a little more than that, but it didn't. But it was still, I still enjoyed the style, the character style.
Yeah, totally. I really liked that. It was very in keeping with the 80s, 90s cartoon. It looked like it was a game of the cartoon, whereas a lot of game versions of movies or TV series, they do completely different things, which is always annoying. Totally stayed true to the game to the cartoon, which was really fun. From the music to the art style.
You know what? I think this is a good example. When we covered the Super Mario Brother movie, it's like that the game and the movie should be compatible. Like you can tell one came from the other.
Yep.
I think this is a great example of how a game and a cartoon are compatible. They go hand in hand.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I feel like it stayed true to what it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't some sort of like, oh, let's just make some kids lose their lunch money real quick.
Yeah,
exactly.
And, which actually made the kids lose more of their lunch money because it was so good.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm curious. I did a playthrough. Two-player with my wife, Christy, who you've heard on this podcast before. I did not keep track of how many quarters or lives we went through, but I'm sure it was on the order of 20 to 30 lives spent in the game trying to beat it. Did you guys keep track of how many lives used?
I mean, Paul and I, we tried to keep it, you know, honor code and everything. So we each did it in one life. So, you know,
we were there for each other.
We had each other's shell.
Honestly, we jacked it up to I put mine over 100 and Katek put his over 200. By the time we finished the game, we still each had our over 100. So I lost track.
Yeah, I think it was something on par of like maybe 20 to 15 lives, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe more. Maybe it was like more like 40 or 60.
Yeah, I just remember dying a lot towards the end. Yeah. Like, I even asked Katek, how could anyone afford to play this, get this far?
Oh, right. My one grievance about this game, well, my real one grievance.
Well, we're
about
not there yet. Game,
well, I got to say it now because I already are. Is that you play this game, and let's say you were at an arcade, and you dumped, you know, like your whole Christmas savings or whatever and birthday money into this game. You're like looking at like $60, $70. And then at the end, after the credits, what does it say? Game over.
Yes. I would have liked a thanks for playing at the very least.
Yeah, exactly. Don't you say game over?
Didn't this game also at the beginning, like in the arcade, like didn't it start off with winners don't use drugs?
Yes,
like that. You remember
like
that?
Well, I don't know if it was this game, but I do remember that sort of dare.
I thought this game had that, but maybe it didn't.
Speaking about dare, you know what they don't talk about these days? Because I was approached on the street in Pasadena the other day. Not that I'm in Pasadena, anyone listening to this podcast.
Probably stalkers out there.
Yeah, right. So I was in Pasadena the other day walking around, and I see the dare t-shirts, people like trying to promote dare. And I was like, oh, they brought dare back? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, so what is their stance on marijuana? And like, oh, we don't talk about it because it's like too controversial. I'm like, what? Then I can't support your BS program. I was like, I did dare back in the day when they scared us not to use drugs. That's what they should do.
Yeah. Scared straight.
Exactly.
Look at this guy ODing.
You want to end up like him?
Yeah. Drugs, but kids, if you want to swim in some green mutagen, go for it, because you'll turn out really cool with awesome ninja powers.
And no cancer.
Yeah, no, that doesn't happen. All right, back to the things we loved about this game, though. What did you guys think of, I really loved all the sort of environmental way, all the environment pieces, I guess is the way to put it, that you could affect, like you could hit the parking meters and they'd fly, or the fire hydrants and they'd shoot off and have water draining. And then I liked how
sign fall down on you just when you're walking.
Yeah,
casually.
Oh, that totally got me. Yes. That instance.
And it was funny mentioning that because Paul and I were playing the street level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's like all these parked cars. And of course, these cars are like more than half the size of the screen. So you walk forward a little and this blue car comes like shooting out. And we were trying to guess which one would do it. And it was a shinier one.
Nice. That old trick, eh?
Yeah. But you know what's dumb is these guys. But then Paul kind of like made sense of it because I was upset that we were playing. And the characters, when they hit like something, like a street sign or whatever, Paul can hit it and it can still hit me. But if those the enemies hit it, it can't hit each other. And see, like they don't have friendly fire, but we do.
I actually found the opposite when I was playing through. I actually played it again, and I just, not to get off on a tangent, but I was curious if I were to have just put in 8 lives or $2 worth, how far I would get, and I got a little bit into the sewer stage, but so not very far at all. But anyways, yeah. I did notice, you know, in the first level, the balls that come down the stairs, that Marble Madness ripoff, that actually hit one of the foot soldiers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it may not be everything.
Yeah.
But it is some friendly fire in for the enemies, which I appreciate.
I guess. I mean, I didn't notice that when we played through, but yeah, I was just kind of like, oh. But then Paul's like, yeah, but we can't hit each other. And I was like, oh, yeah.
That is true.
So I was grateful for that.
Yes.
Yeah, right? Because we would be like on top of each other trying to kill a boss.
What other things did you guys like or love, Katek?
You know what? I really just like the music and the feel of the game in general. It kind of brought me back to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle days, the good days, not these new like 3D terrible animation and movies that came out that just suck.
Yeah, you know? Side scrolling.
Yeah, like I mean, it's nice. It's a good feel, and for those of us who did grow up in the 80s, it's a good throwback, and I highly recommend playing it. Although we did beat it in like less than half an hour.
Yeah.
Wow. Really? It took us like an hour, I think.
Well, and how many lives?
A lot.
Exactly. One of the things that I enjoyed, though, was the music and the sound effects, or especially the sound effects with the talking. And at the beginning, like, it's a total, I don't forget the right word, but it's just like the opening of the cartoon with the song and the super blasting. And then throughout the game, they had the people talking, which was, it sounded similar to the cartoon.
Totally. Say your prayers, turtles. Very nice. Well done.
And that was the 8-bit.
He'll be here all week, folks.
I will. Can't get no respect.
I wonder why.
Wow, Rodney Dangerfield, no one knows it.
Oh, of course we know why.
Yeah. We know why. We just don't want it.
I guess you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah. Rodney's dead. So are his jokes.
Paul, what was something else you wrote about this game?
I already mentioned the style and the music, the sound effects. It's a fun play, especially when you have unlimited lives. If you were looking for quick. Well, relatively quick compared to games today that takes months to finish. Mm-hmm. I didn't like.
I thought you were leading into something else.
That's it.
Okay. Katek, did you have anything else that you loved or liked?
You know what? Okay. I'm kind of changing the subject a little bit, but what I did like about the game is, like Paul said, it's kind of a quick fix compared to games today. However, it is kind of a little too easy if you just dump quarters into it. But a game like, Star Wars Shadow of the Empire on the Super Nintendo, which is an impossible game to beat in reality because that game is so difficult. Mm. But like, even I play it today and it's like, how do they expect a 6-year-old or 8-year-old to beat this game? I can't even beat it. I'm 30.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's near impossible.
Younger kids would have a better chance of beating it, I would think.
Why?
Yeah, but I do like the way this is designed, that if you're rich enough that you can pour enough quarters into it, you can beat it.
Just throw money at it.
Yeah. That's kind of an ingenious way to design games.
It would be nice, and I think there are actually Let's Play playthroughs of people doing this in like a single life, but it would be nice if there's a little more strategy, and that it sort of goes back to what you guys were saying about if there are more than just two buttons. It'd be nice if there is some way to combo attacks or something like that.
Well, you know what I noticed with Michelangelo is, and I mean, I don't remember any of the turtles, but and I didn't see Paul doing this at all. But if I'd hit like a guy once with my nunchuck and then one more time, and then he'd throw him. And I ended up just throwing everyone.
And I didn't know how to trigger that. I was trying to do different things.
If you get close enough before you hit, if you hit while he's far away, so he's barely within reach, it's one hit. But if you get where he's like 2 pixels and then hit him, you throw him.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, that was annoying because I was like, I'm not doing anything but throwing.
Which is good because you do more damage while throwing.
Yeah, but it's just not fun.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like hit him in the face more.
You're okay. Getting too close to your opponents.
the last thing I wanted to bring up is I really liked the... And this kind of goes back to what Paul was saying, but the sprite sheet for the Foot Clan...
Yeah.
So most games like this, like if you've ever played the X-Men or the Simpsons, actually I don't remember Simpsons so well, but X-Men I know. They use that Sentinel enemy.
Yeah, the tiny robot.
Yeah, and just colored them lots of different colors. And it seemed like it was very samey the whole way through. In this, I really liked how they did that with the Foot Clan where they're purple, white, red, rainbow color, what have you. But they all had different weapons and attacked in a little different ways. And I found that very interesting that continued on the whole way through the game.
If you're comparing it to X-Men, the animation of the sprites, how the characters walked, mm-hmm. it was a little more fluid in the Turtles version rather than the X-Men. It was a little more stiff.
Oh, okay. Let's move on to the things that we hated about this game, if there are any, or just things we disliked. Let's start with Paul.
How you go to attack a boss, and then he just knock you out.
Yes.
Yeah, I second that.
Yeah, sometimes there was nothing you could do to hit him. It's just like, all right, you just have to wait and time. It's like, there's like, I don't know.
Something I didn't try this with Rocksteady, but in my single player playthrough with Bebop, I did the strategy of hitting, like walking up and down, walking vertically and going past him. And as I passed him, I'd hit him and then keep walking up and then do the same thing back down. And that would work. And I pretty much only got hit a couple times doing that.
Well,
and I was able
cool.
to beat him. So I don't know if that would work with every boss, but I'm curious if there are certain strategies to certain bosses like that.
I'm sure there are. But like the rock people, they were like impossibly long to beat because they were so tough.
Okay, the rock people, are they from the cartoon? Because I do not remember them at all.
Yeah, they're from Dimension X that Krang came over with. He is their foot soldiers. Like Shredder has the foot.
Mm-hmm.
Those are his foot soldiers from the cartoon.
Yeah, because I was like, it seemed like so much of the cartoon was true, or so much of the game was true of the cartoon. I'm like, did they just fill these in? Because why not put in Leatherhead? He's a much more memorable.
Because I think this game came out before Leatherhead. I think this game came out in the first season before Baxter Stockman was turned into the Fly. I think that's why you don't see him as the Fly, because I think this came out before then.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Hmm.
Katek, is there anything, like you shared some of the things you didn't like about the game, but are there other things that really ground your gears?
Well, I mean, this is mainly because I played on an emulator, but I couldn't play Raphael.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, the bosses, because, I mean, boss fights today in games, they have, different stages, so to speak. You know, it's like, okay, phase 1, phase 2, phase 3.
Yep.
And then I thought, actually, on the very last boss, Shredder, because we kept killing him and he kept separating, And
reappearing.
Reappearing. We're like, wait. And so then I noticed that, like, always he'd keep separating when two of them had their helmet off and one of them didn't, and we'd kill one of them with a helmet off. And so I thought, hey, Paul, like, I think we have to hit all the helmets off and then kill them all in that mode.
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Katek was very smart to pick that up quickly.
Good job, Katek. Wow.
Yeah, but that was the only boss that had that. And I wish there was just more of that, because then it's like you have to kind of figure out, you know, like, how to beat the game, because then it's more of a challenge and then it gives you longevity. And it's like, oh, yeah, that boss was so fun to beat because I had to figure it out.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
That's and a really good insight.
You can take more of kids' quarters.
Exactly. Exactly. You're rich quick.
you want to figure this out, little Timmy. You got to put it in the dough.
You got to pay.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, man. You know what game I really love?
Is it Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
It's Sunset Riders. Oh, my gosh. That game is so fun.
It is fun. Let's stay on point, though.
Your game I really love, Pinochle.
Did you guys find that...
anyone ever play Bocce Ball?
Oh, my gosh.
Bocce? I thought he was only fluent in English. You speak Bocce?
Did you guys find that the enemies got cheaper and cheaper as the game progressed? Like the foot soldiers, I felt, got cheaper, and then the vehicles they used, like those helicopter things shooting at you while you're on skateboards, I thought was just totally impossible. And yeah, totally designed to eat quarters. But what did you guys think? Did you find strategies for facing them?
You jump kick, jump hit.
Yeah, I think it was pretty much the strategy is, jump kick, enter more quarters, jump kick, enter more quarters.
Nice. I did wish, though, with that stage, sorry to interrupt you, Paul, but I did wish that I thought it would have been funner if they went with like in the turtle van or in the turtle blimp, and you have one player controlling the vehicle, and then the other players are like actually doing the shooting the guns or attacking or what have you. I think that would have been really interesting.
Yeah,
but
those skateboards were unusually large.
Yes, they were.
And they moved everywhere you moved.
Yeah, without pedaling with your foot.
Thought powered.
I think we were just downhill the whole time.
I do seem to remember in the show, Donatello rigged them with some sort of fan or propeller thing so that they would go on their own.
Yeah, but those weren't the same design.
Oh, fine. Fine, Paul. Fine.
But that was a good callback. That would have been awesome.
I had some other little things that annoyed me, but how about you guys? Were there any other either little things or big things that bothered you about this game?
Grant should have been bigger.
Yeah, he was so small. And that big guy, I don't remember him looking so dopey in the show.
Yeah,
he was exactly how I remembered, and I actually liked how Krang, when his robot suit would attack, Krang would throw out his little hand like he was attacking with him. I thought that was a cool little.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I think we beat him before he could do that.
The other thing that I have listed is I thought it was weird that Shredder broadcasted in the second level on like TV. Hey, I got April. I'm like, okay, thanks for sharing that. I saw you take her away.
why interrupt the TV stations for
exactly,
that?
Exactly, exactly.
You're talking.
Why? I mean, why even
creates more drama?
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a classic bad guy move. You know, you gotta give away your plan so that the heroes can come get to you.
That is a really good point. I did not think about it from that perspective. I also thought that this isn't so much something I didn't like, but I was actually surprised to see Rocksteady with a machine gun. I don't know why. It seems like it's more of a kid's game, and I know the show had certainly, I remember our mom being worried about this, the show having too much violence and whether or not she should let us watch it.
What? No way.
Yeah, she did. At least this is what I remember.
She ultimately
let us watch it. But
speaking of being too violent, just out of curiosity, do you know what this cartoon and game was called in the UK?
No, what?
It's Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles, because they thought ninja was too too violent, and they did something with one of the weapons. They changed one of the weapons, I think.
Really?
Of one of the turtles.
Probably the Psy.
I don't remember. Anyway, but yeah, Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
Oh.
Are you sure? Because I was just looking at the wiki and I didn't see that.
Yeah, let me go. Are you, if you have it up now.
Oh, yeah, it is Hero Turtles. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh, and I was right. It was released by Konami and in 1989. And I literally just made that up.
Good guess.
Good guessing, indeed.
Oh, but Ubisoft was the publisher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
Cool. So that's all the things I did not like about the game. Kind of short list. Last chance for either for you guys.
It would have been nice to have an animation at the end, like Kotek said.
Actually, yes. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, it was. I really liked how they sort of you go from New York and the skyscrapers all the way down into where the Technodrome is. I thought that was a really cool progression, but it was very anticlimactic that you didn't have some sort of ending scene to sort of cap it off when you have invested so heavily into this. Speaking of which, I was thinking while you guys were talking about how many quarters it would have taken to beat this, I think it would have been cheaper to probably just buy the cabinet outright, and then you could just do free play, and then you could beat it that way.
It would be cheaper now because when the game unit itself first came out, it cost around $2,000.
Let's see. If you multiply that by 4, that's $8,000. That's a lot of quarters. Yeah, it probably would not have been cost effective.
Yeah. You mean 8,000 quarters? It's still $2,000. Yeah.
8,000 pesos. Yes, 8,000 quarters. Thank you. All right. Well, if there's nothing else from you guys,
let's kick show.
Let's move on to the moment of truth. Alice, do you have a firing solution for us?
Firing solution complete. Rating salvo at the ready. On your mark.
All righty. Yes, it is that time whether we, after discussing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game, tell you whether we think it is a classic or second class. So let's, I think we tend to start with our guest host. So Kotek, tell us, do you think TMNT, the arcade game, is a classic or second class and why?
I'm going to have to go with classic. I really enjoyed playing it, albeit a bit, you know, easy, so to speak, because I had infinite lives, but it was still fun and entertaining and a really good memory that I enjoyed. So I would say it's definitely classic because for me, it really was a classic. And I remembered exactly how it was. So nothing changed, which is the kind of pinnacle-ness of classicism.
Well, so I was about to ask, how do you define a classic? And let me see. You can tell if I get this completely wrong, please let me know. But it sounds like a classic for you is something that essentially lives up to your memories of it.
Yeah, because if I go watch a movie and it sucks now and I'm like, what? Why did I love this when I was a kid? Then it's not a classic because it was just like my childhoodness that like enjoyed it. But then I can't enjoy it in my adult life, which is not a classic.
I don't know what I was going to say, but thank you for sharing that you think it's a classic. Well, I didn't know where to go with that. I was just going to spin my wheels. And instead of doing that, I thought I'd just move on.
All right.
Paul, classic or second class?
I would say classic.
And why?
And why? That's a good question. it's because I still enjoy side-scrolling games. I'm not really into these 3D ones that is all the rage these days. So I know I'm one of the few in that. But it's classic characters, well done, and you know, character design and animation and sound effects and a story you could follow. I liked how, you know, there was the kidnapping of April and you went and saved her and then you went after the bad guys themselves. Granted, the ending was kind of anticlimactic, but I think if you really beat it, you would feel such a relief after spending $60 in quarters You know, it's like, oh, finally, I don't have to spend $80.
And it would kind of be a badge of honor, I would think, especially if you could put your initials in and have the proof that, you I would assume if you got the most, you beat it. If you beat it, you'd have like the highest score or something.
Well, we found out that that's not true.
Yeah, I didn't get the high score. So I was sort of just hopeful that it was different for the actual cabinet, but I guess not.
No.
No, it's based on kills, and Paul beat me by 5 kills.
Oh, 4. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We should do a rematch sometime. We got to remember that.
Right?
No more of this co-op. Everyone for himself.
That's funny.
Very cool. So classic from Paul, and classic from Katek. And I also would have to rate Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game, a classic.
Boom.
Boom.
And the why is because how I rate classics is just things that I really enjoy playing and I would want to watch if it's a movie, or in this case play, since it's a game, with Sophia. And it is really fun playing it again with Christy, and I would totally want to play this with Sophia. I don't know if she would so much want to play it because I don't know how appealing the Ninja Turtles are to the youth of today, but
well, they relaunched it, so I'm sure it is actually really appealing.
Yeah, but they have a different design, so it's like, oh, these turtles. Because I had some a middle schooler tell, because I was wearing it. The
why are you out of middle school?
It was at church, and
I was hanging out behind the Max. Oh wait, that's high school.
He said, oh, those are the weird old turtles kind.
Weird old?
Yeah.
You mean the like, best?
He's like, no. So I guess it's whatever you grow up and what you're used to.
Because
I think the new ones are weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look dumb. With like the white eyes and like non like character personalities. It's just like so plain.
Yeah. But anyway.
Anyway.
Anyways, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game, is just the type of game that you would want to practice.
Yes, I agree.
Anyway.
Though the graphics left a lot to be desired. Anyway, so according to the Retro Rewind podcast, we would say go out and play, find Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game. Alrighty, guys, let's move on to the next segment. Alice, have you found anything new on our tubes?
Yeah, who's this Alice chick?
New tube systems engaged.
I think she's the maid, at least in the Brady Bunch.
She's not the maid.
Oh,
Alice
yeah.
is our ship's, our Retro Rewind podcast ship flight computer.
She's pretty hot. Let's set up a date.
Anyway, so this is a segment where we talk about what's new, what we've been watching in sort of new media, and whether we would recommend it or not. So, Paul, let's go ahead and start with you.
What's been new on my tube? Well, it's not really a tube. I went with my wife, Valerie, and we saw Pacific Rim.
Ooh.
Based on a lot of people's suggestions. Because at first, when seeing the previews, I'm like, okay, this is... You know, they spent a lot of money on special effects, mm-hmm. but the idea of monsters coming out of the sea and giant robots to fight them with really no A-list Hollywood actors in it really didn't look good to me. But after several people said, oh, you got to see it, it's actually good for, you know, the summer movie, we went and finally saw it.
And would you recommend it?
That sounds like a yes.
it's a toss up because it is a big screen. It's a kind of movie. The special effects are well done. There are some great moments in it. On the other hand, it is a total Independence Day ripoff, and the robots in it are kind of slow moving. It's not as action packed as some of the Transformer fighting scenes, as in the movies Transformers. So to me, I was hoping for a little bit more, but maybe that's because of all the hype that I heard from a lot of people that kept saying, no, it actually is really a good movie. But so if you have nothing better to do and you want to see that kind of movie, yeah, I think you would enjoy it. But I don't. If you don't see it, I don't think you're really missing all that much if you've seen Independence Day and Transformers.
All right.
But I know other people disagree on that.
Katek, did you see Pacific Rim?
No, I have not. And I actually, I've been out of like the movie circuit for a while. So I still want to go see World War Z, which I haven't seen. So I got to see it before it leaves theaters.
Okay.
But. New tube. I'm supposed to talk about what stuff I do.
Well, like, we're not to you yet, but
okay.
Yeah, essentially just.
Wow, you called on him and then said, "No, not you."
I was curious what his thoughts on Pacific Rim were before I shared mine.
Well, nice. I've lived on the Pacific Rim, but
Was it nice?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Quite nice. Wait, don't all three of us live on the Pacific Rim?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. I was talking about the Japanese
other side of the Pacific.
Yeah. Oh, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was actually one of the people that recommended it to Paul on Facebook.
Yeah, and good, Francisco.
Yeah. I'm sorry you didn't enjoy it more.
But actually, I'm glad I went. Now I know what everyone's talking about. And if I was going to see it, I'd rather see it on the big screen and get all the
totally.
Details.
Totally. Is
sound.
Is a movie I'm trying to... talk Christian to see, and it's for Christian, it's more like a Redbox movie, but I totally think that you really want to see this movie on the big screen for just the theatrics of it.
Yeah.
But I actually enjoyed it. And again, not to repeat everything I said on Facebook, Paul, but I
go
thought the main actor's accent got on my nerves because he's, I think, a British actor.
I think Australian, maybe British.
Maybe it was that. But it seemed like he just got lazy with trying to do his American accent sometimes. And it's like, are you American?
I didn't think he was trying to do American.
Oh, I totally thought he would. Well, he certainly didn't sound like his country of origin then. But anyway, but I liked the characters. I liked what they did with them. I liked that it wasn't complete like romantic interest between the main guy and girl, that I felt like they're more just friends, which was I appreciated. It seems like every movie wants to turn that type of relationship into lovers, so
yeah. Well, there was definitely the open possibility. Well, we lost most of the audience, apparently.
But, oh, and just to speak to your point about them, the action scenes not being as much, I actually...
Are we still talking about this movie?
Yes. Just that I think because of the mechanics of building things that big...
Are we still talking about this movie?
You're just dragging it on. If I could get my point out, we can move on.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
I think that's probably why it wasn't as action-packed and as fast-moving, just because of that.
Lame.
All right. Katek, what is new on your tube?
Well, I have actually been downloading a lot of social media apps lately because I just feel like I like to stay up to date, although by the time I've downloaded, it's already the old thing. So I've been using Flipboard a lot, which is really
nice.
Cool.
Yeah,
I like Flipboard a lot. And then I kind of like was standing in the Starbucks line and I was looking over the shoulder of this girl and I saw, I was like, what is this app? And it's like all these just videos like in a line like Twitter. And
oh, Vine. Right.
Yeah, Vine. Yeah. And I downloaded that and I got annoyed with it in about 3 seconds. So I deleted it.
I love Vine. I post very cute Vines of me and my daughter.
Well, I guess if you have fun stuff to post. I just don't, because I have Twitter and, you know, I have all that social media stuff, but I don't really post as much as I probably should.
Oh, okay.
But Vine.
But you got the apps.
Like, yeah, I got the apps because I just want to see what all the rage is about, and
oh,
I don't, I still don't understand. Like for Vine, I guess it's okay, but I don't know. It was just start streaming all these videos of random stuff that I guess people thought were funny, but it was lost on me, and I was like, why is this funny to anyone? So, yeah, and then I guess what's that other app? Let me look at my homepage real quick.
MySpace.
Oh yeah, MySpace, a new one. Justin Timberlake, he bought it, right?
He did, yes.
Oh yeah, I downloaded this thing called Path, which is actually really cool.
I've been thinking about Game Path, so yeah, tell me about awesome. Path.
Okay, so Path basically is I've been talking about this for weeks long.
I assume Path you haven't gotten, Paul.
No, I have never heard of Path. Okay, so
give us a brief summary of Path.
Okay, so Path is basically it's another social media outlet, but with this you kind of. It's only really for your friends because it's not like you can add random people. You can only add your friends, which I like because I don't care about adding random people on Facebook or anything.
I thought you were going to say, I don't care about anyone but my friends.
I think it's family too, Kajak. I don't think it's just family, friends.
Like anyone, like, you know, your email contacts or whatever. So people you actually talk with. And what you do is you can chat or like post posts to a quote unquote wall. And just stuff like that. And you can check in and do fun things like that. Because I'm really into geocaching. Like, I'm a Yelper. So that's my thing. So I really like this because then I can go here and say, oh, this is great, and check in. And then it shows your location. And, like, people can also go to that location, too. And it's just a fun little thing that you and your friends can all, like, look at.
Doesn't Facebook have those things as well? Yeah,
but the setup and design of this is really clean and nice and fun. And I always have, like, it has this little clock every time you have, like, checked in, so you can see, like, the time of day and all this stuff. It feels so personal, where Facebook feels like I see this incredibly long, never-ending feed of people that I don't care about, and it's just like I'm lost on Facebook. That's why I don't use Facebook as much anymore, because I just don't.
You've added too many friends.
I guess my friends just post the stupidest things, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I don't care that you're at the beach. I'm at the beach. It's hot. Well, yeah, it's the beach. I mean, come on. You don't need to post that.
So you wouldn't post that to Path?
No, I'd only post if I go to interesting places, which is, I feel like, the whole point of Path.
No, I mean your friends. They wouldn't post that to Path?
No, I mean, my friends only post, like, interesting things. Like, oh, I went to this restaurant, or, oh, I went to this new place. It's always, like, new places, because then I see new places that I could go eat or go, on a date or anything like that, which I really like.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the other thing, I'm curious if you give stickers to any of your friends or get stickers, because isn't that a thing on Path that you can do?
I literally downloaded it 2 days ago, so I'm still... been like getting used to it. So, but I mean,
are we still talking about this?
Yeah, seriously, Francisco, you love to drag everything on. I was done with this already 10 minutes ago.
Oh my gosh. Well, before we get on to my new tube, I do, since it is topical with social media, I do want to say that I have recently started a Pinterest board, a few boards for the podcast.
I love Pinterest.
So you can find our podcast boards at Pinterest.com/retro rewind cast. Retro Rewind Podcast was too long, apparently. So, and if you do a search for Retro Rewind Podcast, I'm sure it'll go up. We have boards for cool art and posters, fun toys, and iconic characters. So check that out.
Hey, Paul, did you make my character yet?
Yeah, I thought you were going to just do Ryu. That's already been made.
No, I thought you were going to make me one.
Are we still talking about this? Okay. So what's new on my tube? Paul, what was it? Remind me. What was the term?
Wow, high school.
Oh, yes. Have you guys heard of Video Game High School?
Oh, my gosh. Please don't bring up Freddie Wong.
Oh, I love him. Well, I've never met him, but...
I used to really like his videos because I was heavy into, like, visual effects and stuff. That's part of what I... And his early videos were so well crafted, and you could tell he put so much time into them. And now I'm just like, please stop. Just stop. Please.
I really enjoy he's put out this web series.
Yeah, I know, Video Game High School. I know.
It's my YouTube. I'm describing it.
No. We already talked about it too long.
Did you help fund it on Kickstarter? Because I know he did that.
I did not.
You're not a true fan.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, it's a fun web series for me. For anyone that enjoys video games and nostalgia, it's a really cool concept. I'd go check it out.
The only character I like in that whole show is the epic food guy, the principal. He's hilarious.
Okay. Yeah. So we will have links for Pacific Rim and for Path and Video Game High School on our website, which you can find at RetroRewindPodcast.com. And this episode will be /RRP18, the number 1 and 8. All right, let's move on to... wait, I actually totally forgot. I wanted to recommend another podcast because I haven't recommended him in a while. You've heard him before. It's the Upper Memory Block Podcast. So let me do that real quick.
Do you remember playing great PC games like King's Quest, Command & Conquer, and X-Wing?
Nope.
Do you remember spending hours tweaking your config sys and auto-exec bat files to eke out just one more K of conventional memory?
Yeah.
If you do, then you may be interested in my show, The Upper Memory Block. Every 2 weeks, we talk in-depth about a game, game series, company, or technology from the DOS and pre-Windows XP gaming era. We'll discuss the story, gameplay, and technology of the games of the time. But more importantly, we're going to focus on what made each game special, interesting stories from their development, and how they shaped what PC gaming is today. If you remember gaming in the late 80s and early 90s, or you're interested in finding out more about it, come join your host Joe in the Upper Memory Block. That's the Upper Memory Block Podcast at umbcast.com or find it on iTunes.
Go check out Joe's show. It's really awesome. I enjoy it a lot. All right, let's move on to Alice. Will you bring up the communication satellites, please?
And also your number.
ComSat Online.
Alice.
Your number. Receiving incoming transmission.
So,
all right. So we don't have any feedback this week. But so we'll just go ahead and go into how people can contact us.
Yo, digits.
Kotek, how can people get a hold of you if they'd like to reach out to you?
Okay, you can do at Kotek, K-A-T-E-C underscore R-U-I-Z on Twitter. You can also do... Let's see here. Email? Nah, I'll just do Twitter. Or I guess if you want to search for me on Facebook, you can, Kotek Reese, and then I'm a picture of a chocolate cake.
Not that you'll add any more friends because you're never on there.
Yes, exactly. And then I don't know how you would add me on Path if you really wanted to. I'll give you my email. What did I even use?
You got to know you in person.
Yeah, you have to know me in person, and then you can add me on Path. but other than that, I have a website if you want to check out some work I've done for ABC and stuff like that. It's, again, www.kotek-ruiz.com.
Wow. So hyphen or underscore?
Hyphen.
Okay, the underscore is for your Twitter.
Yeah, because you can't use hyphens on Twitter, right?
Gotcha. I don't know. I haven't tried.
Hashtag Kotek is awesome if you want to get... a prize, which I just made up right now. So
sweet.
We'll see if that,
I'm tweeting that right now. I want a prize.
Yeah. He'll add you on Facebook and ignore you. That's the prize.
Yeah, prize is TBD. So we'll see.
All right. Thank you, Kotek.
Yeah, thanks.
And thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, let's do this again. I feel like I'm adding some flair to your show here.
Alrighty. Paul, how can people reach out? How can people contact you if they'd like to?
I'm at Paul J. Powers for Twitter. And people can go to pauljpowers.com. And there's a list of different social medias that I'm on, and you can find me through there.
Perfect. And you can find me on Twitter at FXRUIZX. And you can reach the show. You can send emails to feedback@retrorewindpodcast.com. And as always, you can find our site, retrorewindpodcast.com, and find us on Facebook, facebook.com/retrorewindpodcast. See, it all ties together like that. well,
except for Pinterest.
Except for, yeah, I know. Google Juice, so.
Mm.
Anyway. Thank you again, Kotek. Thank you, Paul, for being on the show as always.
Well, thanks for having me.
You bet. And thank you, listeners, for downloading the podcast and listening. And
listening this long.
Yeah,
and listeners, if you want me back, send a message to Francisco, and I'll yell at him more.
Yeah, email me, and we can get Katek back on. Just let us know.
Yeah.
What if they don't? Is he not invited?
Well, I guess we'll let the listeners decide.
All right.
Let's see.
So, I think Katek is going to email bomb you now.
So thank you so much, listeners. We really appreciate you. If we'd love it if you would support the show by just sharing it with a friend. Say, hey, I like this show called the Retro Rewind Podcast, and I think you'd like it too. You could also, if you want to go a step further, you could subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or Miro or any other. You could just listen to any podcatcher you have with our RSS feed. All those links are on the sidebar of our website. And thank you again, everyone. And Alice, I'm sorry. Go ahead and take a second.
Yeah, give me your digits.
Retro Rewind mission complete. Proceed to NAC Point Omega and return to base.